When I saw that the theme for February was mercy, I thought, oh, this should be straightforward. Everyone knows what mercy means. But then I realized that mercy was not something that was really clear to me. I do have certainly a sense of the meaning of the word, usually in the context of justice. That's, you know, of course, in a legal sense. But I hadn't considered it so much in other religious, ethical, and other social contexts. Anne Lamott has some interesting things to say about the subject. In a piece titled, What is Mercy?, she offers the following. Maybe it would be helpful to ask what we mean when we speak or dream of mercy. Mercy is radical kindness. Mercy means offering or being offered aid in desperate straits. Mercy is not deserved. It involves absolving the unabsolvable, forgiving the unforgivable. Mercy brings us to the miracle of apology given and accepted, to unashamed humility when we have erred or forgotten. Mercy, grace, forgiveness, and compassion are synonyms, and the approaches we might consider taking when facing a great big mess, especially the great big mess of ourselves. Our arrogance, greed, poverty, disease, prejudice. It includes everything out there that just makes us sick and makes us want to turn away. The idea of accepting life as it presents itself and doing goodness anyway. The belief that love and caring are marveled into even the worst life has to offer. Now, Lamott comes at mercy from a different perspective, though, with a piece called Welcome to Vengeance World. And she writes, I came here with a huge open heart, like a big sweet dog, and I still have one. But some days the only thing that can cheer me up is something bad happening to someone I hate. Preferably if it went viral and the photo of the person showed hair loss and perhaps the lifelong underuse of sunscreen. My heart still leaps to see this. I often recall the New Yorker cartoon of one dog saying to the other, it's not enough that we succeed, cats must also fail. This is the human condition, that in the face of death, cats must lose. An open, merciful heart is a setup for pain, shame, and being mocked. We're not stupid. Welcome to Vengeance World. The original wound was our parents' belief in punishment. Spanking, shame, exile, the silent treatment, isolation, it was pretty convincing. I'm not sure I even recognize the ever presence of mercy anymore. The divine and the human, the messy, crippled, transforming, heartbreaking, lovely, devastating presence of mercy. But I have come to believe that I am starving to death for it, and my world is too. Lamott's words brought me back to my first reaction to thinking about this theme of mercy. What had come to mind right away was Portia's monologue in The Merchant of Venice, which of course was required reading in high school back then. There are serious issues raised in the play about prejudice, money, perception, and so on. Neither the Christian merchant Antonio nor the Jewish moneylender Shylock are sympathetic characters. However, dealing with the history and complexities of the play are not what this talk is about. I just want to offer Portia's beautiful exposition of mercy. The quality of mercy is not strained. It droppeth as a gentle rain from heaven upon the place beneath. It is twice blessed. It blesseth him that gives and him that takes. Just mightiest in the mightiest, it becomes the throned monarch better than his crown. His scepter shows the force of temporal power, the attribute to awe and majesty wherein doth sit the dread and fear of kings. But mercy is above this sceptered sway. It is enthroned in the hearts of kings. It is an attribute to God himself. And earthly power doth then show likest gods when mercy seasons justice. So let us measure this idea of mercy seasoning justice against a current situation right here in Thunder Bay. Last Wednesday, a sentencing hearing was held for Braden Bushby, having been convicted of manslaughter for the death of Barbara Kentner. He will be sentenced on May 4th, with the Crown asking for 8 to 12 years and the defense asking for 4 years. Now, how many of us think there should be a lengthy sentence? How many think that mercy should be shown, and to what extent? This is, of course, a rhetorical question, as I expect there will be a range of responses, especially given the local history of racist anti-Indigenous behavior. How do we reconcile justice and mercy? Now, when considering religious approaches to justice and mercy, Alfred North Whitehead offers the following pithy comment. Religion carries two sorts of people in two entirely opposite directions. The mild and gentle people it carries toward mercy and justice. The persecuting people it carries into fiendish, sadistic cruelty. And it doesn't seem to matter much which sect you have, for both types occur in all sects. Anyway, now how does all of this impact us? Where do justice and mercy fit in Unitarian Universalism? The Touchstones Journal suggests that mercy is hidden within our second principle, in which we affirm justice, equity, and compassion in human relations. Mercy is implicit rather than explicit. It occupies the space between equity and compassion. And it is informed by the principle of the inherent worth and dignity of every individual. And I would add that both of these principles are informed by the interdependent web of existence, of all existence of which we are a part. Mercy is tied to justice, for if no punishment is involved, then mercy is not necessary. Ethicist Rushworth Kidder made a thoughtful distinction. He wrote, "Compelled to choose between justice and mercy, I would, all things being equal, stick with mercy, which to me speaks of love and compassion. One reason, I can imagine a world so full of love that justice as we now know it would no longer be necessary. But I cannot imagine a world so full of justice that there would be no longer any need for love." Justice seeks to apply laws impartially in order to be consistent and fair in their application. As such, laws are not designed to deal with particulars, with special contingencies or individual circumstances. When equity and law are in conflict, Our human system of law is designed to give precedence to equity. Mercy seeks to go beyond law and equity to compassion. Now, the impulse toward mercy requires empathy. One must have some sense of the reality and struggle of the person, as well as the impact on his or her future if mercy is extended, because the fruits of mercy are often amazing. At root, mercy is enshrined in the Golden Rule: do unto others as you would have others do unto you. But there is a greater truth than this. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you, because the other is you. The prophet Micah got it right so long ago. To love mercy is to value it highly. To love mercy is to understand its redemptive power precisely because we do not deserve mercy. To love mercy is to offer it when it makes the least sense. To love mercy is to love. Mercy, grace, forgiveness, and compassion are synonyms, says Anna Lamott. And from my acquaintance with Buddhist thought, loving kindness and compassion are guiding principles. And to me, mercy arises automatically from compassion. So this may lead us then on to another perspective on mercy. Mercy involves an existential choice. The first is to extend compassion, kindness, forgiveness towards someone you do not have to. Or second, to withhold harsh treatment that you have a right to inflict. Or three, to withhold mercy by punishing, harming, or ignoring someone, as for example in the story of the Good Samaritan. Justice, in terms of punishment, is rendered when people receive their due according to the law. Mercy, on the other hand, tempers justice through forbearance or moderation. An act of mercy applies compassion and kindness to justice. Again, in Anne Lamott's words, mercy is radical kindness. Mercy means offering or being offered aid in desperate straits. In the Judeo-Christian tradition, works or acts of mercy were mainly enumerated by Jesus in Matthew 25. And they include feeding the hungry, giving water to the thirsty, clothing the naked, sheltering the homeless, visiting the sick, visiting the imprisoned or ransoming the captives, and burying the dead. This list makes it clear that mercy is an important component of social justice. How can we bring mercy to bear in our own lives? What's involved in showing mercy? Mercy requires a belief in common humanity, admission of our shortcomings, reaching out to one another in love and compassion, and committing ourselves to acts of justice. So this is wise counsel, I think, for us as individuals, as a community, and as a planet. To be merciful is to be compassionate toward others, especially those who are left out of the wealth of society. Each of us must explore our own relationship with mercy and examine it in relation to our commitment to Unitarian Universalism. Now, as you use, we often talk about questioning answers more than answering questions. And I hope that some of the words this morning may raise more questions about mercy. But let us return to the Bushby Kentner story. Anishinaabe educator and entertainer Ron Konutsky shared the following Facebook comments last Wednesday following the sentencing hearings. And he writes, "No matter the sentence, it does not change the outcome. The time will never, never match the crime. I have thought, no matter what the sentence is, likely I will not be satisfied with anything less than the maximum, yet that will likely change nothing. What is important is that it doesn't happen again, and that our citizens understand that this will not be tolerated, period. I am sad for both families. May our streets become safer and our community more aware, and most importantly, our community become more respectful and kind toward others. May healing and wellness prevail and understanding shine through on all the darkness cast by these actions." I'll close the talk this morning by bringing things down to a very personal level and sharing the following short poem written by Rudy San Francisco. Rudy Francisco. Mercy. She asks me to kill the spider. Instead, I get the most peaceful weapons I can find. I take a cup and napkin. I catch the spider, put it outside, and allow it to walk away. If I am ever caught in the wrong place at the wrong time, just being alive and not bothering anyone, I hope I am greeted with the same kind of mercy. May it be so. And may we help to make it so.